Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I felt one simple message from this passage right here, and it was a command given. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, or in simpler terms, take off your shoes. Will you pray with me over this message today? God, oh, thank you for your presence in this place today, Jesus. Oh, for everything that you are doing and everything that you have done, God. Oh, for you appointed for us to be here to speak to us, Jesus, to help us, God. Oh, Jesus, and I pray that you use your words, God, and not mine, Jesus. Oh, that you use our hearts as soil. Take off your shoes. This was not a suggestion that was made. It was not a recommendation, but it was a command given. And I want you to notice just how simple the command truly was. Because God did not start with something complicated. He did not give him a list of 10 things to do. He did not just give him this unbeknown, unknowing thing to say to him, but he told him to just simply take off his shoes. It seems simple, but it's not simple. Because it's not what is said, it's not the size of it, but it's who says it that makes it important. The one who gives the instruction is what makes it important. And if God says it, it matters. So take off your shoes may seem small to you, but it is not small when it comes from God. It may seem simple to you, but it is not simple when heaven is behind it. It may seem unnecessary to the flesh, but the flesh does not get the vote on whether God makes sense. There was a purpose to this command. Take off your shoes. He told him that because shoes tell stories. They carry evidence. They pick up what you've walked through. And Moses' shoes had walked through a lot. Oh, they had touched wilderness ground. They touched lonely ground, hidden ground, ordinary ground. They touched dust of years he thought were wasted. And here, God is saying, before you step any further into my presence, take off your shoes. Take off what you carried in into this place, because this is holy ground that you are on. And holy ground and old dust do not mix. They do not combine. They are separated. It doesn't matter what the old dust is from. Old battles, old relationships, old mindsets, old offenses, old failures. They do not mix with holy ground. And the reason God told Moses to take off his shoes is the same reason I felt he was telling us this same thing today. Because what was attached to him could not go where God was taking him. Notice in verse 3. It says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. That means Moses noticed something unusual, but the encounter only deepened when he stepped aside. the bush was burning before Moses understood what was happening. God was already there, but Moses had to step aside to see it. He had to pay attention. He had to step out of routine. He had to stop his normal rhythm and give God more attention. And sometimes the greatest obstacle to our breakthrough is our routine. Sometimes we're so busy doing what we've always been doing that we're missing what God is trying to do right now. The bush was burning before Moses ever noticed it. It was burning before he walked up there. He was used to seeing burning bushes, but this bush was different because the miracle wasn't waiting on God to start burning. It was waiting on Moses to turn aside. I wonder how many burning bushes that we've walked past because we were too busy keeping the same sheep, too busy to step out of routine, too busy to stop our normal rhythm. It seems peculiar. We can't stop it. Thank you, Jesus. When Moses saw the burning bush, notice how God started the conversation. He did not start it by listing everything Moses had done wrong. God did not say, Moses, do you remember your past? Moses, do you remember your Egypt? Do you remember your failures? Do you remember how long you've been hiding? No, he said, Moses, Moses. He called his name. That means before he gave him an assignment, he let him know that he was known. Before he sent him, he called him. Before he corrected his direction, he confirmed his identity. And in scripture, when God repeats a name, it often signals intimacy, urgency, and destiny. That's why Abraham has the knife raised over Isaac, and he's at the point of surrendering the promise that God gave him. But God does not tell him to stop that. No, but in Genesis 22 and 11, he says, Abraham, Abraham. Samuel, a young boy serving in the temple, hears a voice but does not recognize it as the voice of God at first. But then in 1 Samuel, verse 3 and 10, it says, he just simply says to him, Samuel, Samuel. Martha's busy serving while Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet, and she's frustrated because she's doing all the work and Mary's receiving the word. But Jesus simply says in Luke, Martha, Martha. Saul's on the road to Damascus breathing threats against the church, and he's convinced he's doing God's work, but he's actively fighting against God's people. And a light from heaven knocks him down and says in Acts 9 and 4, Saul, Saul. So when God calls your name twice, it is because the next thing that you do matters. So when God says, Moses, Moses, he's not just trying to get his attention, but he's letting him know that he is known. He is calling him by his name on purpose, with intentionality, because Moses may have been forgotten in Egypt and hidden in Midian and unknown in the wilderness, but he was not unknown to God. The wilderness may have knew him as a shepherd, and Egypt may have knew him as a fugitive, and heaven, Midian may have known him as Jethro's son-in-law, but heaven knew him as a deliverer. People may identify you by your present, but God identifies you by your purpose. And I came to tell somebody today, God is not calling you because he forgot what you've walked through. He is calling you because he knows exactly who you are. He knows your name. He knows your stories. He knows your scars and your history. He knows the road that you've walked. But still, he says, come closer. Thank you, Jesus. You cannot carry your Egypt into your destiny. Egypt wasn't just a location. It was a mentality. It was bondage. Egypt was the place where God's people learned to survive instead of thrive. Even after Israel left Egypt, it just kept showing up in their thinking. They were physically out, but they were mentally entrapped. And that's why every time pressure came, they wanted to go back. Moses lived in Egypt. He knew their systems. He knew their culture, their power, and their failures. But before God could ever send him back to confront Pharaoh, he said, take off your shoes. So there is a little bit more than simple to this when he gives him this command. Because he is telling him, in other words, Moses, take off the dust of the place where you came from. Because that cannot go with you. Where I am sending you is greater than where you have been. And the dust does not mix with holy ground. And you are standing on holy ground. The ground was not holy because of Moses. The ground was holy because God was there. Because God has the power to transform environments. That's why a stable became holy ground when Jesus was born. And a boat became holy ground when Jesus taught from it. And a prison became holy ground when Paul and Silas worshiped his name. Because when God enters a place, the atmosphere submits. That's why darkness has never walked into a room and overpowered light. But the light always wins. Hell has never had authority over God. Death never defeated life, but life defeated death. God doesn't have to adapt to an atmosphere. He changes it. His presence doesn't become like the room, but the room becomes like his presence, because where his presence is, holy ground is. Don't you know that's why demons cannot withstand holy ground, and chains cannot withstand holy ground, and depression cannot withstand holy ground, and addiction cannot withstand holy ground, and hell cannot withstand holy ground, and fear cannot withstand holy ground, and shame and anxiety cannot withstand holy ground, torment cannot withstand holy ground, bitterness cannot withstand holy ground. We might as well hit it all. Unforgiveness cannot withstand holy ground. Suicidal thoughts cannot withstand holy ground. Condemnation cannot withstand holy ground. Death couldn't even withstand holy ground. Cancer can't intimidate it. Generational curses can't survive it. Don't you know that the enemy may come in shouting, oh, but he'll leave defeated when God steps into the room. The second God steps in, the enemy runs away because he knows what is coming for him. He knows there's victory in it. The bush was ordinary, but the fire was extraordinary. The fire in the bush was proof that what he touches cannot be destroyed. The bush should have burned up, but it survived the fire because God was in it. Don't you know that's true of Moses? The devil should have finished Moses in Egypt. Oh, he couldn't. He should have finished Moses in the wilderness, but he couldn't. He should have buried Moses in obscurity, but he couldn't. Oh, because before Moses ever saw the fire, God already saw the deliverer. Before Moses saw a shepherd's staff, God saw a leader. Before he saw 40 years of failure and being lost, wasted, God said, that's 40 years of preparation. Because he has never looked at your life the way you look at your life. Oh, where you see formation, where you see failure, he sees formation. Where you see delay, he sees timing. You need to hear this today. That same is true of you. Maybe you should have lost your mind by now. Oh, maybe you should have quit by now and collapsed under pressure by now. But someone needs to say, that's just too bad. Oh, you can't win, devil. You can't have this. I'm sorry, but I'm on holy ground. You tried and you failed. You tried to take me out and you tried to kill me and you tried to take my mind, but you couldn't. Oh, someone needs to say, don't you look at where I'm at right now. Oh, I'm at church and I'm praising God. And there's nothing that you can do about it. Oh, there's nothing you can change about this. Oh. Oh, you said I wouldn't make it. You said I wouldn't get this far. Oh, but don't you know that God has a place for me? Oh, come on, you might as well just take off your shoes and tell the enemy that you can have these. You can have these shoes. I don't need these where I'm going. Oh, God has a place for me. Don't you know that these shoes walk through rejection, but you don't need them anymore? These shoes walk through loneliness, but you don't need them anymore. They walk through fear and anxiety and torment, but you don't need them anymore. They walk through shame, and I don't need them anymore. Oh, these may be the shoes that carried me through the wilderness, but they will not carry me into the promise. Oh, because he told me to take them off. Come on, church. You might as well tell the devil, you can have these shoes. I don't need those. Those are of my past. You can have that dust and that fear and that shame and that insecurity and that regret. You can have every lie that you ever told to me, but I knew it wasn't true because God has a place for me. Shoes represented of the past. Oh, but God is telling you, leave the residue behind. It's not because Moses was dirty. It's because this ground was holy. Oh, there's a big difference. God was not saying, you are too dirty to come near me. God was saying, this ground is too holy for you to take that dust with you. God never rejected Moses. He rejected what he was carrying. Oh, he rejected the dust. Don't you know that that means the dust doesn't get the final say over your life? That journey and that hard road doesn't get the final say over your life? That wilderness season doesn't get the final say over your life? But God has the final say over your life. There is no one else that has a say over your life. It's God and God only. He knows right where you are and what you've been through. Thank you, Jesus. Moses had been in the wilderness for years, but the moment that God showed up, oh, don't you know that that same ground became holy ground? Your environment will change when God steps into it. It's not an if or an and or a but. It's a will. It's a matter of timing, not a matter of if it'll happen. I'm sure that Moses did not wake up that morning knowing his life was about to change. I'm sure he was just doing what he had been doing, walking the same land, watching the same sheep, living the same routine, doing what he normally had been doing. But suddenly, oh God, interrupted normal with holy. The location did not change. The landscape did not change. The dirt did not change. But the presence of God changed the meaning of that place. Yesterday, it may have looked and forgotten, but today it became a meeting place. Today it looked empty, but today, yesterday it looked empty, but today it became sacred. The same dirt that looked like disappointment yesterday became divine appointment today. Nothing around Moses changed, only who showed up. Oh, you may be standing in a place that you thought was just survival, but God says, no, this is the place where I speak to you. You thought it was delay. God's saying it was preparation. You thought it was hidden, but God says it was holy. You thought it was wasted time, but God said I was building something in you. You thought it was a wilderness, but God says it is the place where I would meet you. You thought it was over, but it was just the beginning. You may have thought it was a setback. God's letting you know it was a setup. Because God can take the very ground that you've cried on and prayed on and fought through and turn it around. It can be the place where your destiny begins. And God told Moses not to come any closer until he took off his shoes. That means Moses had entered a place where hearing mattered. God was about to speak clearly to him. Don't you know that sometimes God brings you into holy ground because he wants the next thing you hear to be his voice? Not the voice of fear, not the voice of your past, not the voice of pressure or the voice of other people or the voice of confusion, but his voice and his voice alone. Because one word from God can change your direction. One word from God can unlock your future. One word from God can send you into your next chapter. Moses walked toward a bush, but he left with a word. And I feel that today. Someone's not just leaving with emotion, but you're leaving with a word from God. You are on holy ground today. Oh, this should make you more excited. I'll say it again. Fear cannot rule on holy ground. Confusion cannot rule on holy ground. The enemy cannot claim any holy ground. Old labels will not stick on holy ground. Shame cannot speak louder than God on holy ground. Oh, chains lose their grip on holy ground, and lies lose their voice on holy ground. Don't you know that what held you yesterday cannot and will not hold you on holy ground? What named you before cannot name you on holy ground. What broke you cannot bury you on holy ground. Because holy ground is not just a location, it's territory. It's territory claimed by God. And whatever God claims, hell cannot keep. Oh, God told Joshua in Joshua 1 and 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. That means God already owns the territory. Don't you know it? And he's giving it to you. The only thing keeping you from it is what he asked you to lay down. The bush was burned, but it was not consumed. The fire was real, but it remained. The heat was real, but it was preserved. The flame was real, but it was not destroyed. Because when God is in the fire, it will not and cannot finish you. You may have been through the fire that may be you. You may be the bush, but don't you know that God has his hand on you and you're still standing here? You may have been through pressure, but you're still here praising God. You may have been through seasons that should have consumed you, but God preserved you because he has a holy purpose on your life. Don't you know it? The fire did not destroy the bush, and it will not destroy you. Thank you, Jesus. Moses, take off your shoes. Every time I read this and prayed about it, God would speak something new to me. And he would say, no, you need to know this too. There's more to it. It's not simple. He's telling him to take off his shoes for a purpose. And the last time I read it, God was saying to me, do you know why I told him that? He was saying, Moses, I'm about to change your walk in your life. Oh, don't you know those shoes? They affect your walk, and I'm about to change it. Oh, Jesus. Because you're about to walk into a new season, and those shoes cannot go with you there. Oh, that next season requires a different walk than the last season. Oh, the old walk may have gotten you here, but the new walk, it'll get you there. Oh, every step that Moses took after the bush carried a different purpose than every step before it. And that's what I feel here today for y'all. For all of us, we may have walked in here one way, but we are not leaving here the same way. We may have walked in carrying dust, but we are not leaving carrying dust. We're walking out carrying purpose. Oh, you may have walked in as a shepherd, but you're leaving as a deliverer. You may have walked in watching sheep, but you're leaving with a word from God. Oh, you may have walked in thinking this was just another day, just another church service. But don't you know that God has somewhere for you and he is preparing you for it? I don't know about you, but it makes me want to shout a little bit. Because don't you know he never removes without replacing? That's why he takes off heaviness and he gives the garment of praise and he takes off shame and he gives honor and he takes off fear and he gives power and he takes off the old dust of your life and he gives you a new direction. So when God says, take off your shoes, he's not saying remove something. No, he's saying receive something. It's not loss, it's exchange. He was saying, Moses, you've been here long enough. I've heard your cry and I've seen your knee. Oh, I have prepared you in hidden places. But now, Moses, now I'm sending you. Now you're going forward. I believe he's saying that over somebody here today. I have somewhere I am taking you. I'm taking you into purpose. I'm taking you into clarity. I'm taking you into healing, into boldness. I'm taking you into a new season, into answered prayers and deeper faith. I'm taking you into greater anointing. I'm taking you beyond what you thought was possible. And I'm taking you into promises that you may have almost given up on. And I'm taking you into victories that you prayed about for years. And I'm taking you into things that only I could have arranged. But before you walk forward, you have to take off the dust. Because this isn't just any place that you're walking into. This is holy ground that you're walking into. And I came to tell somebody today, God is not finished with you. Oh, he's just started. He is not done writing. He is not done speaking. He is not done leading. He is not done opening doors or restoring joy or giving vision. He's not done healing and delivering. He's not done restoring. The dust is going to come off in here today. Oh, it's not leaving here. It cannot go where God is taking us. Because where God is taking us is holy. Oh, the next step we take is holy. That next door is holy. That next assignment is holy. That next yes and that next season, it's holy. That next level, it's holy. Thank you, Jesus. I feel this so strong. God did not bring us to this moment just to hear another sermon. No. He brought us to this moment because he's calling somebody by name. And the reason you are here is not just by happenstance. go, but it was divinely appointed that you are here because he has something he had to let you know. He had to let you know you are on holy ground. And what was attached to you cannot go with you any further. He has somewhere for you, and he is calling you to step aside and take off your shoes. I want to let you know something real quick, church. Notice that scripture never says that he picked the shoes back up. It never says that. God never tells him to put them shoes back on. I think there's a reason, because some things God asks you to lay down, he never intends for you to pick back up. Oh, not because it's sinful, but because it's finished. It's done. Because if God wanted Moses to wear those shoes again, he would have told him to put them back on. But he never mentioned those shoes again because that season of his life was over with. It was over with. God said, this is your past, not your future. This is not who you are. This is who you were. And don't you know, I have somewhere I am taking you. And those can't go with you. Oh, you ought to give him a couple seconds of praise real quick. Oh, you ought to lift up his name real quick. Give him some thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, don't stop praising. Don't stop lifting up his name. Don't stop. Don't stop. I feel like I can go ahead and call for the music if they want to come. But don't stop praising his name while they're on the way. Don't stop lifting up his name while they're on the way. He's trying to talk to you. He's trying to get to know you. You know, last week after church, I felt something different in the atmosphere here. There was a liberty that began to move. There was a hunger that began to rise. There was a praise that began to break loose. And I couldn't shake the feeling that we did not merely have another church service, but I feel like we touched holy ground in this place last week. So you know what? I don't feel like ending this with the same dust on our feet that we may have walked in with. Because if this is holy ground, oh, then something ought to happen on this ground. Oh, someone ought to step out of their seat and put a praise on this ground. Oh, someone ought to get their boldness and their fire back here. Oh, this isn't the place to be still. We're on holy ground. He's trying to do something. This isn't the place to just stay. Here, I'll give you a little guidance. You know what knocks the dust off of your feet just a little bit? A little impact. You know what shakes through the residue? A little. You know what tells hell I'm not staying where I am? Oh, come on. Maybe that's why the enemy fights your praise so hard. Because he knows that praise shakes loose things that preaching alone cannot. Oh, because praise has a way of knocking off yesterday. Oh, it has a way of breaking chains. It has a way of reminding you that you're still standing. David said he turned my mourning into dancing. Isaiah said he gives the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The psalmist says, let him praise his name in the dance. Said, don't tell me that dancing doesn't belong on holy ground. When Miriam saw what God had done, she danced. When David realized the presence of God was coming back, he danced. When the lame man at the beautiful gates, oh, come on. When he was healed, he went walking and leaping and praising God. Because when God changes your walk, your feet just can't stay still. Oh, you can't convince somebody to stand still after God changed their life. You can't expect somebody to remain silent after God called their name. You can't preserve your dignity when you've encountered his glory. Everyone, go ahead and stand with me. I want everyone up front. Everyone. I feel like he's going to do something in here today. He's calling you to step aside. What I felt so strong. Oh, I wonder if there's some people in the house that are tired of carrying gold dust. Tired of that old shame. Tired of that old fear and those old labels. And today, you're saying, I'll leave it all on holy ground. God has been way too good for you to just stand still. Way too good. Oh, if he brought you through the fire, oh, you ought to come praise him. Oh, if he turned your mourning into dancing, you ought to come praise him. If he took off the dust off of your life, you ought to come praise him.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.